Well, good morning, Solace Church. How's everybody doing today? You like that video? That was good. That was a way not to exhibit some fruits of the Spirit. Hey, my name is Jason Fitch. I'm the Operations Director here at Solace, and I'm going to be continuing our Sweet Emotion series with you this morning. Couple things I want you to know at the very outset. One, I'm mostly a behind-the-scenes kind of guy here at the church. I do things that you don't see publicly a lot, and that's okay. I prefer that most of the time. But I used to speak like this on a regular basis. Almost every week I would get up and speak in front of people. And so if it's like riding a bike where I can just get back up and ride, you're in for something okay this morning. If not, at least, at the very least, you can say to your friends, I got to see a really interesting bike wreck this morning at church. So either way, after the first service this morning, somebody said to me, hey, you did a good job. If you were the regular preacher, I probably wouldn't leave. So Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. Hey, the other thing you should know this morning is that I'm not on this stage because Pastor Matt's in the hospital. He's not in the hospital, so that's good news. In fact, he's in Israel this morning. And, this morning here, it's this afternoon there or this evening there. He's in Israel. He's been there all week. I think he's coming back on Tuesday, and he is getting to walk where Jesus walked, which is a powerful thing. I have heard from a lot of pastors before that when they go to Israel and experience the same places where Jesus walked, that it just brings a depth to their understanding of Scripture and a depth to the way they can teach us. So we're really in for a treat, I believe, when Matt gets back. And I'm glad that we have a pastor that sees the value in getting away, and he sees the value in his own personal growth. That's a really good thing for us as a church. I'm really, really glad about that. Okay, well, right now, we're going to go on with our message. And if you're a guest here this morning, I want to say welcome. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you came to see if Solace Church might be the right church for you. I hope it is, and I hope you can explore that. And if you're watching online, I'm glad you're here with us as well. Glad you could join us digitally. I hear that Matt, you're watching online from Israel right now, so no pressure at all. Glad you could be here with us. And I hope that you're with us online. You'll be with us live here in person very soon as well. Okay, we're going to go back to the Sweet Emotion series here. What we're talking about are the fruits of the Spirit as Galatians chapter 5 lays them out. We're going to go to that scripture in just a minute. I'm going to be talking about the fruit of gentleness. And before we get there, let's go back and do a little catch up, little context of where we've been over the last few weeks. Through this entire series, Pastor Matt has been showing us the difference between living according to the cadence of our flesh and living according to the cadence of the Spirit. They are two completely different things, and we're going to see that in just a few minutes here in these scriptures that we look at. We're comparing and we're contrasting the ways of God's Spirit with the ways of our own spirit. That's really what it comes down to. So if that's the case, let's start with the scripture. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. If you've got a Bible or a Bible app on your phone or something, go ahead and go there. It's going to be on the screen here in a minute too. The Bible clearly compares, the Bible clearly contrasts the ways of the Spirit with the ways of the flesh. So let's look first at what we would call the cadence of the flesh. So we're going to go right back to the part before the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is an example of the cadence of the flesh. That is the way the flesh operates. Now, the next two scriptures in the same passage contrast that with the cadence of the Spirit. It's what we call the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but. Now stop for a second. The word but there is important. It's a transition word. It says, the author that's writing, he says, look, I was talking about this. I was talking about the cadence of the flesh. Now I'm going to flip over and I'm going to talk about something completely different. I'm going to talk about the cadence of the Spirit. So he goes on to say, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, I am going to make a big assumption. I'm going to assume right here at the outset that if you're sitting in this room, you are probably wanting that second list, the love, joy, peace list. You're probably wanting that to be the way your life looks, right? If you're sitting in here right now and you're thinking about that first list and you're thinking, man, that other list, that drunken orgy list, it sounds pretty good. If that's you, if you're in that spot, I'm just telling you, I probably don't have anything for you today. Like, I don't think I've got anything that can help today. So enjoy your Starbucks, and maybe next week you can come back, different state of mind, and we can talk again, all right? So that's kind of my underlying assumption. Just want you to know that. I think a lot of us want, most of us, probably all of us in here would say, yeah, that list, the fruits of the Spirit, I want my life to look like that. Now, the thing is, we may not know how to get from where we are now to there. We might not know how to get from here to there, but that's okay. The idea that we want to get there is where we're going to start with this morning. Fair enough? Okay. Well, let me say a few things just about the fruits of the Spirit in general before we get specifically into the fruit of kindness, or gentleness, sorry. First thing is this, exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit is easy. It's easy when everything's going well. But everything doesn't always go well, does it? I mean, it's easy to be gentle with people when they're being gentle with you, right? That's not so hard. But what if they insult you? What if they hurt your feelings? Then you got a whole different thing going, don't you? I'll tell you this. When somebody hurts your feelings, when somebody insults you, what's going to come out of you as a reaction is what's already inside of you. That's just how it is. It's how it's always going to be. You cannot will yourself into exhibiting fruits of the Spirit. You can't manufacture a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is a byproduct of what's already inside of you. If you've got gentleness inside of you, gentleness is going to come out. It's called a fruit because it, just like a fruit grows from a tree, that fruit grows from what's already inside of you, from the source, being God's Spirit in this case. You can't manufacture a fruit of the Spirit. I know that because I've tried. You probably have too, and it probably didn't work. You know, I've tried it a lot, where I just said, I'm going to will myself into being a better person or doing a better job with this and that. There's one particularly stupid example that comes to my mind about myself. When I was in college, I went to a Bible college, and I realized at some certain point that I probably wasn't the nicest guy on campus. I probably wasn't exactly operating in the gift of kindness too much. You know, I was sarcastic, and I would put people down, and I'd take any opportunity I could to make them feel stupid, which I'm not proud of it, but that's just how I was operating at that time. And I was aware of it. I mean, I wasn't kind, but at least I was self-aware. But I was, if that's any kind of victory, I don't know. But I was also aware that my roommate, Mark, was kind. Mark had the fruit of kindness going on in his life. At that point, I didn't realize it was a fruit of the Spirit. I just thought Mark was a nice guy. I thought that was just his personality. You know, he's just a nice guy. Well, I noticed that Mark was a really nice guy. You know who else noticed Mark was a really nice guy? All the ladies on campus noticed Mark was a really nice guy. And I started seeing this. And even, you know, he was my roommate. So even sometimes these ladies would come to me and they'd say, your roommate Mark is the nicest guy on the whole campus. I mean, that's a really attractive trait. And they're telling me, like, don't tell me. And, you know, even like at Bible college, like the ultra super Christian girls would say, like, Mark just has such a servant's heart. I just love that about him, you know. So I realized Mark is a nice, kind guy, and all these girls want to be with him because of that. Well, shoot, I can get on that train too. So I said, man, if Mark's this nice, I'm going to be like this nice. Mark can be a nice guy, but I'm going to be the nicest guy on campus. So I said, starting tomorrow, not today, starting tomorrow. You ever do that? Yeah. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to just be the nicest guy possible. So I woke up the next morning and I started my day of my new life of being nice. How long do you think it lasted? 5 minutes, probably. I don't remember, but I'm sure it lasted until I had the first opportunity to not be nice. You know, here's what the problem was. I thought it was a personality trait in Mark. I thought I could just copy a personality. What I didn't realize was that it was a fruit of the Spirit. I didn't have God's Spirit living inside of me like that at that time, and it wasn't going to come out of me. So I couldn't just manufacture kindness. We're not talking about personality traits when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. So don't confuse the two things at all. Fruits of the Spirit are a natural byproduct of what's already inside of you. You know, there's a saying that says a glass can only spill what it contains. And that's very true. If your glass contains gentleness, you're going to spill out gentleness. Now, on the other side, if your glass contains fits of rage, you're going to spill out fits of rage. If that's what's inside of you, that's what's going to come out. So when we're talking fruits of the Spirit, any fruit of the Spirit, but we're just in general talking fruits of the Spirit, it's important to understand that it's a state that directly affects how we're going to react when adverse situations pop up, which they tend to do from time to time. It's not that you're going to choose how you react. I know a lot of times we want to fool ourselves into saying, well, I'm just going to stop and I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to react better next time. I just want to tell you, you're not. Not unless you change what's inside of you. The choice you can make is daily filling yourself up with the Holy Spirit so that what comes out of you naturally is different. That's the choice you can make. And that's the choice that I hope that you can make starting today for some of you. Okay, so that's fruits of the Spirit in general. Let's talk in specifics now about the fruit of gentleness. What is gentleness? It's not a word we use a lot. I mean, I don't ever use the word gentleness unless I'm telling my kids to like be careful if they're holding a baby or something. You know, like be gentle, don't hurt it. We don't use gentleness a lot. It's just not a word we use a lot in our culture. Because of that, we have trouble sometimes defining it. So where we're gonna start is back in Scripture again. The New Testament was written in Greek. So when you're talking about, we took the Greek writing and we translated it into English. So when we have this word gentleness, that came from a Greek word. Somewhere we translated some Greek word into gentleness. Well, I started to research that and I came back to this Greek word called praoutis. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Don't care. All right. That word is called praoutis. Doesn't matter if I'm pronouncing it right. But praoutis translated into English is gentleness, meekness, humility, and self-forgetfulness. What I found out as I did my research and my study is that that's pretty close, but it's not exactly right. Because that word, praoutis, does not have an exact English counterpart. There's just not a word in the English language that actually encompasses all that that word is. So we don't have this true one-to-one comparison. So I started thinking, okay, if we don't have an exact one-to-one equivalent English word, what we've got to do is we've got to do some studying, we've got to do some researching to figure out if a person in first century Greece, or that spoke Greek, not necessarily Greece, but that spoke Greek, if they wrote or used the word praoutis, what were they talking about? What was the context? Culturally, what did that mean? Because that's what the writer of the Scripture wrote. He wrote that this word praoutis is a fruit of the Spirit. We've called it gentleness. But what did it really mean to them back then? So here's what I figured out as I did some research, that the word praoutis would have been used to describe gentleness of conduct, which we get, but there's another piece to it. There's gentleness of conduct on the part of a person who has power to act otherwise. There's a good example in one of the articles I read was talking about a king, and this king had a servant who had failed at something. And the failure deserved a pretty stiff penalty. But instead of putting this penalty down on the servant, the king forgave him and let him go about his way. And the article I read said that king would have been praised for his gentle and meek behavior. Now, there are English versions of the Bible that instead of using the word gentleness, they use the word meekness in this context. You know, they talk about the fruits of the Spirit instead of gentleness, they'll say meekness. The more I researched it, the more I realized that's probably a better word. For our purposes today, I'm going to use the word meekness. So I'm off gentleness, I'm on meekness, okay? Got that? We're going to talk about meekness today, which is weird because that's a word we use even less in our culture. We hardly ever use the word meekness, but it's probably our best attempt to get to this word, praoutis, which is in the original Scriptures. Problem with meekness, it's got a bad connotation in our culture. In our, 21st century Western culture, especially our American culture, the word meekness a lot is used to suggest some form of cowardice, some form of weakness. A lot of times it's used to suggest in men like a feminine trait. But the funny thing is when you look at the original Greek word praoutis that we're pulling from, it's not talking about that at all. It's talking about it's not talking about just meekness and gentleness, it's talking about a place of power. Coming from a position of power, especially when you have the choice to act otherwise. So what we need here is we need a biblical definition. Pastor Matt has done that for all of the different fruits of the Spirit he's taught us about in this series. He's given us a biblical definition. So I want to give you a biblical definition. It's important because we live in a culture that defines words and concepts sometimes differently than what the writer of the scripture intended on. And I believe that might be true here with meekness. So let me give you a biblical definition of meekness. And I'm going to define it like this. And by the way, this definition is not, I didn't make it up. I got it from another pastor that I heard teaching about this, a guy by the name of Kyle Eidelman. And he said, meekness is power and strength under the control of the Holy Spirit for the benefit of someone else. Power and strength under the control of the Holy Spirit for the benefit of someone else. Now, there's a few parts to that I want to make sure you see. I want to make sure you see the whole picture. First is power and strength. Meekness is not some weakling that is relegating themselves to the shadows and say, well, just walk all over me. Not at all. It's a place of power and it's a place of strength. It's certainly not feminine when it comes to us guys. Also, meekness means that we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. And finally, it also means that it's for the benefit of other people. And that's true of any fruit of the Spirit. You know, my little story before about how I was trying to become the nicest guy on campus. I wasn't asking God to please fill me with the fruit of kindness. I just wanted to pick up chicks. That was it. I had no good motives there at all. I was thinking, man, if I could show the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, girls are going to want to be with me. Well, that's not what the fruit of the Spirit is for. It's not for us to look good to other people. It's for us to be good to other people, okay? All right, so here's our biblical definition of meekness. I'm going to cut it down even a little bit more for you because I want you to be able to easily take it with you. So I'm going to give you even a little condensed version. I got this from a guy named Brad Lominick, who actually is Zach Archer's cousin. Brad's a really good writer and speaker about leadership. And Brad Lominick said this. He said, meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. Meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. Easy to remember, easy to take with you. Now, it's fair to say that as we've defined meekness and we understand what it is and what it is not, and as I began to understand it, as I studied for this, I realized I'm probably one of the least qualified people I know to teach you about meekness. Even when people ask me, like, what fruit of the Spirit are you talking about? You know, when you talk at church in a couple of weeks, I'd say gentleness or meekness, and they'd say, oh, that's strange. It's strange that Matt would ask you to do that. Here's what I found. God very often asks unqualified people to do stuff for him. And I'm just glad I'm glad I have the opportunity. I'm glad I've already learned so much about meekness. I've already learned so much about my own shortcomings. And I'm just glad God's given me the opportunity. And I'm going to share a little bit of my story about some shortcomings with you in a little bit. But before we talk about me, I want to take a few minutes and talk about we or us. I don't know if it's we or us. I don't remember how to use that. But I'm sure after church today, somebody's going to come tell me, hey, this is how you figure out how to use we or us. Thank you in advance for that grammar lesson. I'm talking about we collectively as people, okay? And doesn't it seem like we have a preoccupation with being right? Seem like we want to be right all the time. And even when we're wrong, we want to justify it. You know, even when we think we're right about something and we have like a negative reaction to somebody else about it, we want to justify it and we say things like, well, you know, I said that because, you know, what they were doing just wasn't right. Or we say things like, hey, I just needed him to know he was way off. I was just fixing him, just putting him in his place. Sound familiar? Yeah, amen. Or you might say, I just had to set the record straight. Yeah, that's code for like, I just wanted to say whatever I wanted. You know, I had to set the record straight. And here's the deal. When we think that we're right, which often we're not, but when we think that we're right, a lot of times we feel like we have this license to belittle other people in the process of saying how right we are and how wrong they are. Anybody else live there in that world? I do. I'm not proud of that. But I mean, I need to let you know it's there. It's there in my life for sure. And when we operate like that, when we are grasping for you know, control over people and we want to be right and we want them to be wrong and we want to belittle them for that, what are we really looking for in that instance? Power. We're looking for power. We want to be powerful. We hate being powerless. think everybody can identify with that feeling. And we tend to operate in a way that grasps for power at the expense of other people. You know what that is? That's living according to the cadence of the flesh. When we say, I'm just going to grab power and I don't care how it hurts somebody else, that's living according to the cadence of the flesh. That's what we do a lot. I want to show you a picture of what it looks like to live by the cadence of the Spirit. And it's an example of Jesus. It's probably the most excellent, strong example of meekness I could think of in the Bible. And it's in stark contrast to how we live day by day. If you remember when Jesus is hanging on the cross, think about what's happened to this point. Jesus has been betrayed by one of his disciples, and at the point where he's arrested, all his other disciples scatter, and he's left by himself, and he goes to trial, which was a farce, and he's basically railroaded into these charges, and then he's tortured, and he's beaten beyond what any of us can imagine, and he is finally nailed on a cross through his hands and feet, and they hoist him up, and he's on this cross, and he's looking down at these people, most of whom are still throwing up insults at him and making fun of him, even at this point while he's nailed on the cross. What's he say? He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can you imagine? I mean, it seems more fitting for him to say, Father, kill him. Dead. I mean, he still held the power, right? He wasn't in a place of powerlessness. He gave it up on his own, by his own volition, but he was still in a place of power. But he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Could you imagine? I just couldn't imagine it. See, what Jesus showed us there was what I think is the ultimate example of how meekness is not weakness. It's power under control. He had all the power in the world, but he kept it under control because he had a greater purpose. And this principle of power under control is all throughout Scripture. You know, there's Proverbs 15:1 that says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And if you need a translation to that, your grandma taught it to you this way: you catch more flies with honey than you would with vinegar. Grandma was smart, and grandma liked to catch flies. Don't know why, but she did, and she caught a lot of them with honey. And you know, it's easy to be kind to people when they're kind to you, and it's easy to be gentle with people, and it's easy to be meek with people when they are that way with you. But how about when they're not? How about even when they set themselves up to be an enemy of yours? You know, Scripture even calls us to go so far as to love our enemies. It says in Luke 6:27, to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I'll just be honest, that is difficult. That is a hard thing to do. I mean, shoot, it's hard not to blow up at someone when they cut you off in traffic, much less love somebody who has set themselves up to be an enemy of yours. But that's the thing about the fruits of the Spirit. When you've got God's Spirit at work on the inside of you, what's going to come out of you is God's Spirit, or things that are in line with God's Spirit. Now, look, I promise you, Scripture is not showing us this thing that's unattainable. I know sometimes we feel like, well, man, that's just, you know, you can't compare me with Jesus. He was Jesus. Look, Scripture is showing us something that is, it's ideal to be sure, but it is very attainable. As we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up and to push out the spirit of the flesh, we begin to be more like Jesus. We begin more like the Spirit of God. So it's really not about your will. It's not about you willing yourself to be a better person. It's about filling yourself up with the right spirit and pushing out the wrong spirit. All right, enough about we. Now I want to spend a few minutes talking about you. I want to get personal with you. And I want to ask you this question. When people talk about you or people think about you, do the words gentle and meek come to their mind? You don't have to answer it, of course, just think. When people think about you and talk about you, do the words gentle and meek come to their mind? How about patient or forgiving? Are these words that define you or that other people would say define you? Especially when you're in a position of power where you can really just bring the hammer down. Are you still that way? Are you still patient and kind and meek and forgiving? Well, when God is in control of your life and you're yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, those fruits of the Spirit are going to naturally come out. But that's not easy to do, is it? That's a tough way to live. And I want you to think right now, where is your biggest struggle with that? Again, don't say it out loud. Just think, where's my biggest struggle? And while you're thinking of that, I can tell you probably what my biggest struggle is right now as far as the fruit of meekness. It's how I treat my kids. And yeah, I'm sure a few of you are going to be able to identify with this one. You remember when we read the scripture at the beginning and I talked about how Galatians 5:19 to 21 contrast has all these contrasting traits with Galatians 5:22 and 23? Well, the contrasting trait to meekness is fits of rage. It's kind of the opposite, polar opposite. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. There are times where I just break into fits of rage. And I'm not proud of that, and I don't even want to share that with you because, honestly, I want you to like me. I don't want you to, you know, it matters to me what people think, just like everybody. It matters to me what people think, and I don't want to stand up in here and say sometimes I break into fits of rage, but sometimes I do. It's just the truth. I break into these fits of rage in my house, in front of my kids, sometimes directed at my kids. I mean, I have four boys who are ages 12, 12, 10, and 7. And sometimes it's just not pretty how I react to stuff, and I'm not proud of it. But man, they just push my buttons. I mean, they just push my buttons. And you know what I think is at the root of all of it? As I think through, like, why do I react like that? I think it goes back to what I said before. You know how we all want power? I think sometimes my boys just make me feel so powerless. They just make me feel like, there is nothing I can do to make them behave the way I want them to behave. There's nothing I can do to get my message across to them. I just feel powerless when I've told them 1,000 times to pick up their clothes off the bathroom floor after they take a shower. And then 10 minutes later, I walk in the bathroom. I'm not even checking. I'm just walking in the bathroom and it's covered in clothes. At that point, I'm like, I feel powerless. I don't know what to do. And I think my default is like, hey, I'm just going to increase the volume. I'm just going to increase the intensity. I'm going to make them pick up the clothes. Ever been there? Well, you know what happens when I do that? I win the battle and I lose the war. Because they pick up the clothes. Sure, they come in, they pick up the clothes, and I get my point across right away. But when they pick up the clothes, they're doing it with their head hanging low. They got tears coming out of their eyes. I have shown them that I have no self-control. And I think when I act like that, they look at me and I think they're just thinking, this guy loves me. You know, this guy is my dad. I said to my son before this, you know, he said, are you talking about us at all? I said, well, not by name, but in general terms, I said, you know how sometimes I get real mad at you guys and blow up? He goes, yeah. I said, I'm going to talk about that and how it's wrong and, you know, I need to not do that. And he goes, I'm glad you're learning that. Now, sometimes, I don't want to say I do that every time. I do that sometimes. I do that a lot, way too often. But there's other times where I do have fruits of the Spirit operating in me. You know, maybe I've been in a season of my life where I'm pulling a lot closer to Jesus and I've just got God's Spirit in me a lot more. And the same thing can happen and I can react to it totally different. You know, I can be calm. I can say, hey guys, look, I need you to pick these up and here's why. And, you know, we've talked about this before. And even on top of that, you're going to be punished. And here's why. What happens then? Well, same result. They still pick up the clothes, but this time they have their head held high. This time they're not demoralized. They're looking me in the eye. And the best part is I've shown them that I can be in control. I can exhibit power over them, but under control. And I've shown them what it is to be the kind of dad, at least, that I want to be for them and the kind of dad I want them to be for their kids someday. So it's a stark contrast. Anybody ever felt like that? No, right? Okay. Well, maybe for you, your thing is not kids. Maybe you don't have kids, or maybe you just like when kids trash your house. I don't know. But if it's not kids for you, maybe it's a different thing. Maybe it's like this thing that I see now that I call people hating on social media. Got any people haters out there? It is shocking to me the comments that people feel at liberty to leave publicly on social media. The things that people will say in a comment on Facebook, you would never say it in a million years to a person's face. You know, people will say anything, and then they'll say like the most horrendous, hurtful things, and at the end they'll say, just saying. Like somehow that makes it better. So I'm allowed to insult you any way I want if I say just saying at the end. It's not okay. That's not an example of meekness. I know sometimes it makes us feel powerful to just blast somebody and make them feel shamed publicly on the internet. But you know what meekness looks like in that situation? Meekness says, I have the power to blast you publicly, but I'm not. I'm going to hold back, and I'm not going to do that. It's power under control. And maybe that's not an issue for you. Maybe for you, it's your driving. Did you know? I don't know if you know this, but did you know that road rage is not a fruit of the Spirit? I know. If you're waiting for like, when is Matt going to cover that road rage? He's not, because it's not a fruit of the Spirit. And I figured out why you don't have a solid sticker on your car. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because look, if you're going to drive like that, don't put a solid sticker or any other kind of Jesus sticker on your car. Please don't represent God like that, all right? Don't represent our church like that. You know, but when you're driving and somebody just, I mean, the funny thing is everything I get mad at people about driving, I've done it all too. You know, but like, you know, somebody will cut you off and what you want to do is force them off the road so that you can get out and have a confrontation and yell at them or punch them in the face or something like that. No, I don't ever want to do that. And, you know, what you want to do is that. But what meekness would be is they cut you off and you say, you know what? I could do all this stuff to them that I'm thinking, but I've probably done the same thing. So I'm just going to yield and I'm going to forgive them and I'm going to let them go on about their day with a spirit of forgiveness. Remember, guys, you can't will yourself into exhibiting fruits of the Spirit. So if you are a road rager, I'm not here telling you stop road raging. And if you're a people hater on Facebook, I'm not telling you stop being a people hater. And if you're somebody that's yelling at your kids every day, I'm not saying stop yelling at your kids. What I am saying is start filling yourself up with God's Spirit. And as you start filling yourself up with God's Spirit, you will stop doing all those other things, because you'll stop living according to the cadence of the flesh, and you'll start living according to the cadence of the Spirit. And that's where all the good stuff comes from that all of us want anyway. We can't will ourselves into it. So meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't manufacture it. Glass can only spill what it contains, right? If you want meekness in your life, you got to have the Holy Spirit in your life. I mean, it's the Spirit of Jesus himself. The way to be meek is to be full of the Spirit of Jesus. And that takes time. That takes intentionality. That takes you being willing to go through a process in your life where day by day and action by action and decision by decision, you fill yourself up with more of the Spirit of God and less of the spirit of the flesh. I'm going to close with this little fable. It's one of Aesop's fables. It's about the sun and the wind, and the sun and the wind were arguing about who was stronger. Let me read you how this one goes. The wind said to the sun, "Do you see the old man down there? I can make him take his coat off quicker than you can." The sun agreed to go behind the cloud while the wind blew up a storm. However, the harder the wind blew, the firmer the old man wrapped his coat around him. Eventually, the wind gave up, and the sun came out. He began to smile kindly upon the old man, and before long, the man mopped his brow, pulled off his coat, and he strolled on his way. The sun knew the secret. Warmth, friendliness, and a gentle touch are always stronger than force and fury. So the question is, who were you? Are you the wind or are you the sun? Do you tend to just push harder and blow harder to exhibit your power at other people's expense? Or do you smile on people with kindness and meekness? I know who you want to be. I know who I want to be. But I'm asking you to evaluate who you really are. You know, we live in a culture that glorifies the spirit of the flesh. We live in a culture that glorifies when we're assertive and we take power at the expense of other people. But that's not God's way at all. That's not what he shows us in Scripture. And we just know, I think we just know in our spirit that doesn't work anyway. We know that doesn't get us where we want to be, even if that might get us temporary gains. So contrary to what our culture and what our flesh believe, I think, the warm and meek person is the person with real power. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is power that's under control. So I want to let you respond to this, what we've been talking about today. In a minute, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to this. And you can either, you know, raise your hand, hey, what you're talking about is me, or even after that, as we do a song at the end, you can come up and pray to maybe solidify that decision. So here's the bottom line. Understanding what we now understand about meekness, what it is and what it is not, I would be willing to bet that most of us want that fruit of the Spirit operating in our life. It's a good bet that most of us want to be that kind of person. And you remember that I said just a few minutes ago that you know, you're going to exhibit the fruit of meekness, and this is true of any fruits of the Spirit, but you're going to exhibit that when you've got the Holy Spirit at work inside of you. And I also said a few minutes ago that it's a process. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to start that process. So if everybody wouldn't mind standing and praying with me.
Hey, this is Pastor Matt Blair. Thank you so much for taking time to check out our podcast today at solidchurch.com. You know, we realize that it's possible, as you listen to this message today, that God may have spoken to your heart about something. So if you made any kind of spiritual decision, we would love to know about that. You can email us at info@solidchurch.com and let us know what happened in your life today. Once again, thank you so much for taking time to check out this podcast.